I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Case File 6 of Microscope, the show that examines some of the world's biggest mysteries. Each episode, we'll be interviewing a different special guest to help us try and explain the unexplainable. This time, we're looking at unsolved cases. Over the last few months, we've recorded a few more mysteries than we've released, because we've either not been able to solve them, or, more often, the episode didn't quite work as a whole. But I'd like to share some of my favourite parts of these unreleased shows, and so here's our first clip. A conversation with Francis Attenborough, a shopping centre Father Christmas impersonator, who told us about one of the worst days on the job.
School party turns up. The igloo is tiny. The igloo can hold about 6 to, I don't know, at a push, 17 children, yes? At a push, yes?
Like a Japanese train.
Yes. Absolutely, the elves do a fantastic job squeezing them in. I stand on my chair and, you know, one by one, just tell me what you want.
Right, yep.
Now, this particular day, there is, there's a lot of kids in there. I don't want to kick this one off on a foot like this.
Yeah, make a change.
Yeah. But I smell soil.
You smell soil?
Oh, someone soiled themselves.
Oh, I see. Right.
In my grotto.
Yeah.
And it's only December the 3rd, okay? Yeah. So I'm thinking this could be a problem, yeah. Okay? Yeah. So I say, right, you know, I'm panicking up there.
Okay.
Because all the teachers are waiting outside the igloo.
Yeah.
I'm like, right. One of you's done something.
Yeah.
And they all go, no, don't tell Miss.
Right.
And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? And they say, you say you did it. I'm like, Christ almighty, do you want me to lose my job?
Yep.
They're like, yeah, and they all start cheering.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, so I'm like, look, I'm not going to tell your teacher that you've come in. You've come in here and I've shat my pants. Well, I don't want to do that.
No, fair enough.
But there's 17 of them and one of me.
Right.
And they're not letting me out the door.
Yeah.
And it's an inflatable igloo, right?
Okay,
so
sure.
I get my keys out and I'm trying to take the thing down.
Yeah.
But these kids, they take the keys off me.
Right.
One of them like swallows them. Right. I'm like, well, don't know what we're going to... So anyway, I'm like, look, I'm not telling your teacher that I did this because I can't have this on my CV.
Sure.
Oh, right. They're all
on your CV?
Yeah, what's the CV? What's the CV? All this crap.
You write the CV yourself. You don't have to put that on there.
You got me back the rights there. But I'm an honest man. I put that stuff on. So we did. I'm in there. This was about an hour.
What?
And,
you know,
why the teachers don't care?
Right.
There was a Prosecco bar outside. So I said, right, we basically came to an agreement. Yeah, I'd walked in walking to work that morning.
Right.
And that is why the igloo
smells.
When the kids
leave,
the kids walk out, completely stink of shit.
Yeah, fair enough. Right.
So I'm like, oh, God, all right. Do you know what? I mean, anyway, so they finally let me leave.
Yep, these kids.
Yeah, so they all
how
go
old,
out.
How old are they?
Huh?
How old are they?
About 8, 9 years old. So they let me go out.
Yep.
And, you know, they all make a semicircle. And they say, and the teacher's like, where the hell have you been?
Mm.
And they say, Farmer Christmas has got a message. They're all laughing.
Yeah,
they love it, because they know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, sure.
And anyway, I just look at the teachers, and I go, sorry, they were late.
Yeah.
But I walked across the car park this morning and stood in, what I think was dog poo.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And I said, I'm very sorry about sure. that.
Did you have to clarify why this made the kids late?
Well, she was on your side. She went, "What? Why are you telling me that?" She can't work out why I'm telling her this. Yeah, right. She's like, "Why are you telling me this?" I'm like, "No, I just want..." One of them's got, you know, the one with the keys.
Who's eating them?
Yep. No, he's shat them out, and he's got them. He's got them pressed against my thigh, right? He's behind me. He's got a vein. I know he has.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, no, I just got to tell you, yeah. I did stand in feces walking across the car park.
Yeah.
And I think they're from a dog, and I just thought, say I'm very sorry about
right,
that.
Fair enough.
So she's completely like, I don't know what. Why? Yeah, anyway. Yeah. She then looks over at this kid. He's 8 years old. And he's got a grin the size of Greece. And he stinks, this yeah. guy. Right? He's loving it. He stinks.
Yeah.
He's, you know. Anyway.
And this is the same kid that shot himself?
No, the one with the keys is different.
Right, okay. There's two kids shin.
Yeah. Right. I forgot about that. Yeah, two of them have done that.
Yeah, okay.
But the one with the keys is wiry. He's an arsehole. He's done it, but he knows how to clean it. He must go in the woods or something. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
The one who originally did it, oh, man alive. He's smart. He's so happy that he's got away with it.
Yeah.
The teacher goes over to him. She's like, Jesus Christ almighty. What's happened? Anyway, he goes, shat myself, miss. Right? Not those words, but, you know, gist. So she then looks at me. She goes, what the fuck's been going on in there?
She says those words in front of the kids. What the fuck's been going on in there?
Well, she's had a few Prosecco.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
She's plastered. She's absolutely plastered.
Yeah.
She's like, what's been going on in there? It's disgusting. I'm like, I'm sorry. And then I show him my shoes. I'm like, you know what? Fuck these kids. I never stood in it. I was lying the whole time. They made me do it, yeah. right? Anyway, my worst thing I've ever done, right? Because of the smell, because of the Prosecco, she runs into the igloo. She starts chucking up in the igloo.
Chucking
right?
up in the igloo.
So
right.
the kids turn to me and they're like, you little grass.
Right.
So they chase me down the corridor of yep. the department store.
Yep.
Through the cookery section mm-hmm. to the bookstore.
Right.
Anyway, I need to find solace in there.
Yeah.
So it's a massive, I don't know if you've ever been to the this
shop that has a cookery shop. Section and bookshop.
No, it's yeah. massive, right? Yeah. There's another grotto down
there's
there.
There's another grotto,
that's
right.
it. So I dive into the grotto and I'm like, Phil, you got to help me.
Right, okay.
Phil, my mate.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's going on? I'm like, shut the door. But it's an inflatable igloo. So right. But it needs no doors to shut. Yeah. Igloos don't have doors.
No.
So these kids run in, man, they run in. And they barricade the doors. They're like, right, you two, shit yourselves now. And I'm like, this is disgusting, no way. No way, not doing it again. We're in there for 2 hours negotiating.
Two hours negotiating.
Oh, man, they are bastards, these
right.
guys.
Yeah.
It's a bad school. Bad school.
It sounds it.
Anyway. Finally, they let Phil out. Phil's the one who has to go out. He has to give a statement to the manager.
A statement?
Yeah, they're
like a hostage.
Yeah, they're keeping us hostage. Yeah. You know? And they go to the manager, and Phil's like, what's my name again?
Francis.
Francis is having a bad day in there.
He certainly is having a bad day.
Yeah. And I've been told to read this statement, but, you know, I'm a grown man. Just go sort it out. So anyway, the manager goes, pulls the plug of the whole thing. The whole thing deflated, and...
So how often would you say in your day-to-day life that you run into a situation where, and just to clarify, kids eat your keys, shit them out, escape from an igloo, teacher throws up in it, you run away, then the kids hold you hostage until you shit yourself?
Well, I've kept a diary for... 23 years and I've never had a day like that.
This next clip is an interview I made with an Egyptologist who had recently discovered the buried mummy of ancient Egyptian pharaoh Queen Ratatifi. I asked him about the party he put on to celebrate the find and how he felt when he first discovered the tomb.
Queen Ratifi!
Yeah.
Now, you know what? In this day and age, probably people would say, don't mention it, but she had massive breasts.
Right, did she?
Yeah, massive, right?
Right.
Now,
do they,
to the British Museum, all the mummies, flat-chested, yes? I'm not... Some people might say, where are you going with this? This is a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
Backtrack. I'm moving forward. Yes? This mummy had massive breasts.
Right. Bearing in mind.
What, you want me to not mention it?
Well, yes?
We dug her up.
If it's relevant.
And everyone looked at her, and it was a bit like, well, who's going to say first? And I looked down the barrel of the camera.
What camera?
And there was the news. The news were there.
The news
and
were
I
there.
Went, this mummy's got massive breasts.
Right, I see. Is that your only line on the news?
Yeah, they cut me because they thought I was going broke. So, you know.
So you were running a party that evening to celebrate discovering Queen Ratatifi?
Had a party. You walked in, yeah? Balloons.
Yeah.
On the floor. Didn't fill them with helium. Big mistake,
right,
yes?
I see.
So, a punch bowl in the corner.
Yeah.
Empty.
Right.
Completely empty,
just
right?
Just a box.
So you walk in and go, oh, hang on a second, this party don't look right.
Yeah? Yeah.
So you're ready, so I'm cutting the wheat from the chaff, yes?
Yeah.
Because most people are turning around, they're going home, right? If you go to the next room, yeah, there's plates of pork pies, skips.
Yeah.
Jelly deals. Four cans of Diet Coke.
Four cans of Diet Coke. How many people attended the party?
I invited 650. I got 246 RSVPs.
Yeah.
And 8,000 people turned up on the door.
What was the capacity of the venue?
The capacity, standing, you've got yourself 46 in the balloon room.
Yeah.
And then 312 in the other room.
Yeah.
If you get in, want to lie down in the balloon room, yes?
If you want to lie down in the balloon room,
yes, if you ask me the capacity,
don't get
rude with me. If you're lying down in the balloon room, yeah, but you've got six people on top of you, right?
Yeah,
you can fit yourself. Well, you know what? There was a lot of people in that room, so okay. I didn't actually go in there.
Yeah.
But the other room, now that was pumping, right? Say you've got 400 people, 6'3".
Yeah. 400 people, all 6'3"? All 6'3"?
The ceiling of this place, right?
Yeah.
Tight. The floor space is ridiculous, yeah? But this thing is huge. I mean, it's like... we're talking tall-wise. This room's...
Less,
I'm going to say 40 foot.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying this place got to have a party, right?
Right.
So I brought in the skips, pork pies, Diet Cokes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people outside, obviously, very angry they can't get in.
Yeah.
I'm on the balcony like a Vita going, you know, just wait till people leave, then we'll do one in, one out.
Yeah.
Did she say that? I think she said that. And look, you know what? It was a great party. I've got Spotify on Shuffle. Can't afford premium, so there's a lot of adverts going on. And obviously we got kicked out at 10 because it was a Sunday. I mean, I was like, fuck. So there I am, right?
Yeah.
9,000 people now outside, yeah?
Yeah?
This building's next to a lake. Can you believe it? They burnt down the bridge. So we're all there going, how are we going to get across this lake?
Right.
There's a fox on the other side. Fox on the other side. I've got a chicken. Yeah. This fox goes, bring that chicken over and I'll work with him. We'll get a raft going. So I send this chicken in a basket over to the fox.
Yeah.
He eats the fox. It was horrible. 9,000 of us watching that. Anyway, the water drained away. It wasn't a lake. It was a massive puddle. And we all just kind of dispersed home.
Right.
And there was one fatality.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Our next clip is an interview I made with a farmer about the day he discovered he could talk to animals. The recording starts with a story from his childhood about a mistake he made after a school trip to a zoo.
Well, I got on the wrong bus home.
Right.
I got on the bus that takes the penguins back to the freezer that they live in, okay? So it took me a good hour to realise that I was on the wrong bus.
Yeah.
Because they were all sleeping, you
I see.
See.
So you're at a zoo and they bust...
I went to the zoo, right?
They bust the animals in at the during the day.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, okay.
That's what all zoos do.
Right, yeah.
Zoos are empty at night. Right.
So
they're completely full during the day.
Gotcha.
It's a fucking job.
Right.
Everyone banging on about how sad it is that they're in there. They are coining it in. They go home. You should see. You know those beggars that sit on the floor and then you know they go back to their flats. Yeah.
Right. That's like a contentious point, but fair enough. Yeah.
Not all of them, I'm not mad.
Okay, right.
But some of them do. Yeah?
Sponsored by Shelter.
That's what I give money to Shelter.
Okay, that's fine then.
Yeah, it is fine. You know what? Yeah, I have 20 quid a show every month. I could throw in a little joke that there are some people out there that are conning us.
So the pain.
That is true. I mean, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. What a mystery.
Hey? Give to Shelter or the Whitechapel charity.
Yes,
money gets.
I completely agree. So you're on this coach. You're on this coach.
I'm on the coach
with
right?
these penguins.
These penguins. They're minted. They are absolutely minted. They spend days staring at this drawing of an iceberg.
Right. Yeah? Okay.
They know what they're fucking doing.
Yeah. Oh, so they do that at the job and they go back and...
That's their job, yeah? That's basically what we all do.
Yeah.
We go and stare at our icebergs and then we go home.
Yeah. So how long has this coach done you out of the penguins? It's penguin's house.
Right, so it's about an hour.
Right.
Affluent part of Surrey.
Is it?
Yeah.
Guildford.
Guildford Zoo. Shut down now, of course.
Yeah.
But a wonderful place that used to be.
Gotcha,
my God. Yeah, so anyway, I remember being on the bus. It was chilly. Yeah, they got the air con up, all that. And I fell asleep. Long, hard day slogging about on the school bus.
Yeah, gotcha.
My friend, and what didn't help was that my best friend had a canny resemblance to a penguin
as
well.
Did he? Right, I see.
That's what really threw me.
You were just following him.
I was following him, yeah. And he had a funny little walk as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy was...
Loved fish.
He did love fish, actually. And... So it got dark, right?
Yeah.
It got dark.
Yeah.
And I remember we all went to, the bus pulled up and I went, all right, I'm time, out you get.
Is it a human driving the bus? Or is it a human driving the bus or was it...
Of course it's not. No fucking way, you mad. No way, ain't a human driver. Well, that's when I realised that I could speak to hyenas, actually.
Right, it was a hyena.
I understand what he's saying there.
Okay, but you didn't understand the penguins.
I didn't know they were penguins at the time.
Okay, right.
Because I'm tired, I've got my head down, I've got my headphones in, I'm just paying no attention to who's around me.
Yep.
So I'm in the queue to go up. I remember thinking, it's weird that hyenas driving the bus.
Is
okay?
It? Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought, funny. Yeah? It's a bit funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm walking out, and I remember we didn't pick up our bags.
We didn't pick up our bags.
Well, we always throw our bags under the bus.
Oh, I see, as a child.
We walked straight out into this little door.
Yep.
And there was a guy holding the door open, and we all had to bow down and crawl through this door. And have you seen Fraggle Rock?
No.
Don't worry about it then. But, little door. Anyway, I went in, and we all fell.
Yeah, go on. We all, you went for a tiny, tiny penguin.
We fell asleep. We all fell asleep.
You went for a tiny penguin-sized door, and you all fell asleep. Talk us through the environment you were in there.
Is that a sound effect, number?
What is that sound effect, Simon?
That is penguin sound.
Lovely stuff. Okay, yeah. Right. So you're hearing this.
That's gonna sound beautiful on the headphones.
Yeah.
People listening.
Yeah.
What a great sound that is.
Yeah.
How could this content get any worse? Let's get screeching penguins. Eric, that is what they sound like when they're sleeping.
Well,
it's horrible, isn't it? Horrible. And I remember lying there thinking.
Top quality production.
I'm like
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I really do remember thinking, like, you know, I'm not. Why am I even? Loud stuff. Anyway, I thought I need to investigate some of this.
Yeah, okay.
I went over, turned on the light, and just, you know, I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever seen.
Simon, mate, I mean, I really appreciate it, but maybe we just dial it down for a sec.
I don't know if anyone's ever seen 50,000 eyes, penguin eyes, wearing
50,000 penguin eyes.
There's 25,000 of them in there.
Oh yeah, gotcha. Yeah, and, your maths adds up.
Yeah. I ain't making a word of this shit up.
Yeah.
And you know, they're all wearing nightcaps, and they're all furious with me that I've turned on the light.
Oh, I see. Right.
I'm like, you know, can I swear?
Yeah.
I went, fuck me!
Right.
I went, where am I?
Right.
Anyway, one of them.
Quite a precocious sort of child, aren't you?
I was only like 10 at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, one of them came up to me.
Yeah.
And he looked like, you know, the penguin from The Wrong Trousers, Wallace and Gromit.
The penguin from The Wrong Trousers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Am I the only one who's fucking lived culture in this room? Wallace and Gromit?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Remember the penguin in that?
Yeah, put a hat on the
beady eyes.
Yeah, gotcha, yeah.
Anyway, he comes up to me.
What is up, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, this ain't no place for you. And he slaps my arse.
Right, slaps your arse.
He slapped my arse.
Right. He's facing you, but he's got a long flipper. So he's right round.
I turned round, you know, thinking...
Yeah. Oh, actually, so you were facing the other way.
That,
oh, okay, you turn around, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm turning around. I'm scared now. I'm scared.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you would be, wouldn't you?
What, in a house with 25,000 penguins, one of which is quite predatory, as a 10-year-old boy, no idea where you are. Yeah, I think I'd be scared.
You know what? That is as funny as I thought it was. I mean, anyway, they let me go after about a week.
After a week?
Yeah. We have fun.
Did you?
Oh, I'll tell you what. I shouldn't tell this, should I? I'll tell it.
Yeah.
On the... I said, well, I'll just stay here, lads. I'll tidy up.
Tidy up. It was quite a messy house.
Yeah, disgusting.
Right. I imagine so. The kitchen of a house has got 25,000 residents.
Yeah, so, God.
Was it just one kitchen, or did they have one?
Yeah, one toilet, one kitchen. Disgusting.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm tidying up. And it's really terrible. Anyway, on the Friday, the day before they let me go, one of them went, why don't you come? Why don't you come to the zoo?
Come to the zoo. Yeah, because they've been going to work in this week as well. Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you come
to the zoo?
Why don't you come with us?
Yeah, so the coach pulls up.
Pretend you're
a penguin, right.
And I thought, yeah, this sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, okay. Coach rocks up, hyena in the front. Presumably it's the same guy. Yeah. Anyway. So you put a makeup on? How do you style yourself as a penguin?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. So like, one of them had died, so I just slipped into his...
One of the 25,000 had died.
I just slipped into his skin. But, anyway, so this is the biggest trick of all, right? They played a good old trick on me, right?
Yeah.
They went, you go first.
Okay.
Yeah?
Onto the coach or out of the coach when you got there?
Into the pen.
Into the
zoo.
Yeah.
They went, you go first.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I walk out, right? There's a door in the iceberg. Tracking.
Yeah.
It's not
tracking. Yeah.
Bang! Door shuts behind me.
All right. Yeah.
Where are they? They're all outside the cage, looking in.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
So like a reversal of roles in some respects. Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm on the other side of the cage, going like
in the skin of a dead penguin.
Yeah. Don't forget that bit.
Yeah.
And then there's 25,000 penguins looking at me, in the pen. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this don't feel too good.
Right. So you start getting worried now after this week.
One of them just mouthed, we're going to see how
your family like it, right? I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, gotcha.
Little did I know, when I slipped into the penguin suit, they'd all taken my clothes, okay?
I see.
And they got one of them to dress as me.
Yeah? I gotcha, yeah.
And my mum was going crazy, obviously.
Have you not seen it for a week?
I'd gone to the zoo, I'd gone missing for a week. It was a national, I don't know if anyone saw it, it was an absolute national scandal.
Yes.
Anyway. The penguin just rocked up at my house.
Right, see, he was dressed as you.
Yeah. My mum thought, he's back. Right?
Call the search off.
So, front page news, he's back. Right? There's no way of me in the cage going, I'm not the penguin that I am in the suit.
Gotcha, yeah.
So for, it was 4 months.
4 months.
That this guy...
impersonated you.
Impersonated me.
Until presumably you had the great plan of taking off the skin of the penguin, revealing yourself as a naked child.
No, I had a lovely time because I was earning a hell of a lot of money at the time. I had the whole place to myself because the rest of them had also gone to my parents. They took shifts. Yep. So, they made my house disgusting.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
But, you know, I cleaned up the whole place and I did get a medal from the mayor.
Medal from the mayor?
Just saying, look, well done, kid. Tough few months.
Yes.
But, you know, well done. Pat on the back. And, and that's the story of how I became a farmer.
And our final clip is an interview with Ben Carsington, host of a local news channel that was sadly the location of the tragic murder of a weatherman. Here's Ben talking about what happens if he is ever late for a broadcast.
Well, you know, people tuning in and it's a blank screen, blank studio. They see me come in and I sit down and say, sorry, I'm late, and then start the news.
Right, so there's a blank screen and you appear, what, from the void? Where, take me through it. There's a black screen, there's nothing on it, and there's nothing on it, and then you emerge from, what, a corner?
Have you seen the ring?
No? The lass in the TV?
Yes. Right, so imagine that. I crawl out of the TV.
Right. So there's a TV on the screen?
There's a TV within your telly. I don't crawl out of a television. Right, so
it's a blank...
Fucking hell!
Right. It's a...
It's a podcast!
Okay, right. It's 6 p.m. I fancy the news. Switched on the box. It's a blank screen, but there's a TV in there.
It's a blank screen.
Who's that emerging from the TV? A bit tardy, in my opinion.
It's a blank screen. It's a blank screen. Yeah. Yes, it's a blank screen.
Blank screen with a TV on
and
it.
And it's just... and then there's a TV within inside, the TV, yeah, okay? Right. I then appear through the black sheet behind that TV, through there, and because I'm late, I've still got my jacket on. I fall onto the floor, stand up, dust myself down, say, sorry I'm late, there's been a fucking murder!
And of course, on that occasion, you were right. They had indeed.
They had! And you know what? I say that every night. And then the cameraman actually went. He started waving around, going, no, there actually had been. Yes. And that, I mean, that's why I'm here now.
I've got a lot of questions to ask about the murder. I do want to sort of just diverge a little bit and ask what happens when you're on time.
Well, I'm set up, and I'm stood in front of the TV within the TV.
Within the TV. So hang on, so there's no desk.
No, it's me. Have you ever watched the show? It's me standing in front of a television.
Yeah.
It's completely. There's a black box studio.
Yes. Famously for television.
Yeah. And it's just me looking down the barrel of the camera.
Yeah.
Telling you the news.
Other than crawling through it when you've been late, what value does the other TV provide?
Well, someone sometimes with white gloves puts their hands through, and you know, if I'm talking about, say, what? Something like someone's...
What, like Zap?
The famous CITV show from the early 90s.
Zap. What a reference point.
That's a good reference.
That'll get the podcast fans on board, won't it? Now, what was it like on the night in question? October the 4th, 1996. Talk us through it. But if it's going to involve you calling for a TV, you can skip that.
Well, I remember it like it was... I remember it like it was about about four.
This is a good riff. 23 years ago?
Yeah, about 30 years ago, yeah. And about 31 years ago. And you know, I'll never forget the chill that went across my spine. It was bizarre.
Not down?
Not down.
I thought, hang on a minute. Well, you know, they say, if you feel a chill down your spine, then someone has walked across your grave.
Mm.
If you feel a chill across your spine,
yeah.
Someone's been shot in the head. He's a very good friend of yours, and you know, I could have. But when I felt that, I went, "Bloody hell! I hope it's not." You know,
Martin Crescent.
Martin. Yeah.
Who of course had been shot in the head. Now, Ashton Overlook, who was another weatherman on your station, he was the chief suspect. How did you first meet Paston?
Well, I remember he came to me when he was about 15, and he said, "I'm looking for a job at the studios," and I said, "Sure, you know, what can you do and stuff." And he just unravelled this beautiful map of the British Isles,
mm-hmm.
and I said, "That's a beautiful map. Where did you get this?
Yeah.
You know?" And he said, "I drew."
Right.
I was like, "Okay, all right." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What's the scale?" And he went, "Well, this isn't the real one. I've actually got one in my mum's cellar."
So he had a scale map map.
He had one at home.
Wait, what?
Of the British Isles, a map of the British Isles. Right. The scale was 1:1. The scale was 1:1.
What do you mean? What are you talking? You mean?
He had a map rolled up in his mum's cellar, the British Isles. So I said, "What's the scale?" He said, 1:1.
Right, but he had a miniature version.
He said he
walked
around with a pencil attached to the base of his foot and a bit of paper, and he just walked around.
A lot of paper.
I brought him up on that as well, I'm glad you did, because I was like, "That's a lot of paper, mate. How big's your mum's cellar?" And he thought I was being rude. I was like, "You know what? That is disgusting."
Now, that's your sort of requirement, is it, for interviewing weathermen? Have you got your own map?
Well, he said he had his own map, and then he starts showing me all the, you know, he's got the sun, he's got clouds, he's got, you know, when it's pissing down, he's got, he actually just has the word pissing down. I didn't like that. I said, "Well, we need to cut that out," you know what I mean? He said he wanted to get more young people in the weather.
Yeah, into weather.
I said, "Look, £3 an hour, one day a week." He went, "There's 24 days in a." He got me. He went, "There's 24 days in an hour." I went, "Wow, bloody hell!"
Days in an hour.
Yeah, I know. I went, "Huh?" He went, "Well, that's about 800 pounds." He bankrupted me. No, he's a good boy. I like him. Anyway, yeah, I think he killed my mate, actually.
What was he like? Was he a good weatherman?
The best, the best, the best.
What separates the wheat from the shit?
But you know what he did? It was a beautiful moment, actually. He stood in front of that telly, and you know I've got the curtains closed.
The what curtains?
Of the studio. You know I've got the telly there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he stood in front of the telly with his map and did the weather.
Yeah.
But he did a beautiful thing. He actually opened the curtains behind that telly within the television. And there was a window behind
you. What are you talking about?
Come on, you've got to keep up.
Yeah, I'm trying to, mate. There's a TV. You're in a dark studio. There's a TV.
There's a black box studio.
There's curtains in the TV, and there's a window behind those curtains.
Yeah, and he just goes, "That's the weather."
Do you
revolutionary? Revolutionary. And he went, "Come back tomorrow. Everyone don't know what tomorrow's like." I was like, "Yeah, what the fuck are they telling me what Thursday's like? Just I'll come back tomorrow, pal." Do you know what? It changed the game.
Well, that's the end of the show. This episode was researched by John Kearns, edited by Matt Ewins, and the theme music was by Nikki Green. If you want to come and watch the shows be recorded, then please follow our Twitter account at @microscopefun for details. That's the end of Series 1, but remain vigilant and catch you next time on Microscope.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.